Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Whether you're looking to start a career with no student loans or change careers to land one of the happiest jobs in the world, yep, that's construction, Build Mississippi can help. Visit buildmississippi.com to learn why a career in the trades deserves another look. buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting.
Williams, this is Super Talk Sports Mississippi.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
You just never know what's going to affect people and what they're going to tell you in an email or a text or in the line at the grocery store. Do you know that since the theme of this program has become classical gas, I not only hear about that, but I also hear from all the people who love to mow their lawns because I said the lawn you hate to mow.
Good thank
morning,
you.
Lance.
Y'all listened. I love mowing, especially if you have a zero turn.
Well,
that
sometimes
makes life
sometimes the equipment does make a difference.
No, all the time. I remember sitting out every Saturday or Sunday for hours watching Dad in coach's shorts. We got to fix it first.
No, that's true
enough.
It
doesn't take
any
time when it's fixed, and it's fun, and turn on some tunes and crack open a cold.
Well, I'm always amazed when anybody, it's not Eeyore's birthday today, but it's truly great when anybody notices, and especially in the grocery line.
Yeah,
hey,
and classical
that's
gas
you,
is great,
isn't it?
Too.
That's you, isn't it? Yes, this is me.
Yes. I was out checking the roses this week, and yeah, I did a very smart thing. There was a knife left up here by somebody that it wasn't like lost. It was a promo. So I took it back in the office a month or so ago. I showed it to you.
I
finally said, throw it in the car, see if it's sharp. And I got out and I was deadheading rose bushes. And I said, let me just pull that knife out instead of getting a little scissors and do like have my grandfather, Papaw, had pulled out the pocket knife and snapped everything off.
Yep.
And I beat up my hand so bad with that knife. I looked down at the shirt I had on yesterday and it had blood on it from the day before.
Oh, my goodness.
It opened back up. I was like, that's probably not a good idea. But I did take care of a lot
of roses.
Well, it does
give you.
Somebody walked by and said, hey, aren't you?
Oh, see, there you go.
Yes, and I'm fortunate enough to get to hang out with Nellie Neal, the garden mama, and learn and have beautiful
loves,
roses.
When they're this beautiful, everybody loves roses.
Yeah.
I'll grant you there are people that don't want them in their gardens because they think they're thorny and they drop their leaves and they do this and they do that. But at this point in the year, everybody loves them. And I'll tell you what else you did, which was very smart. I wasn't there, but I can tell you, with that single blade, you're actually making the cut that is better for the rose.
Well, I'd heard that, and I wanted to try
it.
I got better as I went on, but the first two or three.
You bloodied up.
Yeah, I stuck myself pretty good
terrible.
A few times, looked down, and then the person that came by happened to be beautiful, and I had a bleeding
of
hand
course,
and a knife open. I kind
of
looked like a psycho there for
it's
a second.
Always but that way,
I eased the tension with conversation, obviously, but it was that initial moment. I'm sitting there going, I wonder what she thinks
at this moment. Yes, it's me. Should I admit that?
What is this crazy person
doing? Well, I don't know how to tell you all this, but he's here and he's ready. It is, in fact, World Naked Gardening Day.
Yeah, and Kentucky Derby at the same time.
And it is Kentucky Derby at the same time. But best of all, today's word is confluence.
Mm-hmm.
When two things happen, it's all kind of days, by the way. It's Herb Day. It's Respect for Chickens Day. It's Beer Pong Day. It's all these crazy things. But for me, the fact that this is World Naked Gardening Day and also May the 4th be with you is absolutely the confluence of two of my happiest things, gardening and Star Wars. So there you have it. Okay. Now, everybody wanders around going, but they put the force, and it's, of course it is, but the humor for all of us English majors is that it is, in fact, May the 4th. So if you're listening to this on another day, just smile and figure that you can celebrate anytime you want to. How about that? Good morning to Paula. Good morning to Thomas. Good morning to Trey coming on in on the text line today. We hope that you will do that too. I certainly appreciate texts and phone calls at any point during this program. Peaches will be in the next hour, which is great fun. It is the first Saturday of the month, and we are headed to Rivers in Byram on Willow Creek. It's really, the market there is just chock-a-block, and I'm really looking forward to it. I know we will have today some pictures of the baskets we're giving away, but I've also got some Super Talk swag, some t-shirts from the Garden Mama Show, and things to give away for you. So come and see us between 11 and 1 today at Rivers in Byram, okay? Going to be fun. That market is a great one. This is the next in the series of what I call the Yak It Up. In other words, we're going to talk about plants. So come and enjoy that part, too. It's always a good time on a Saturday, especially right now, because everybody's looking at, what am I going to grow? How am I going to do this? Will this one be good? What's the next choice? I'm always happy to help with those things. Somebody sent me a note this week and asked me what fiddleheads are, and they had seen them on a menu somewhere. Fiddleheads are the emerging new growth from a clump of ferns. For example, Southern Shield fern is the fern that you see in people's flower beds, you know, garden beds in semi-shade, but it can also take some sun, that's very, very lime green. And this week I noticed that, in fact, they're popping up. My neighbor doesn't like them. Every year he tries to get them out of his shrubbery. So I go over and dig up some when they pop up. And those are the fiddleheads. Though that's the beginning of it. It's a very curly, very pretty, and it looks fragile, which it kind of is, but it's like any other sprout. It's tougher than it looks many times. So fun. This is, good. And Paula's going to come down to Rivers Market and visit with us. So that's going to be fun. We love that kind of intersection. That's another confluence that I like very, very much.
Well, you got the confluence of horse racing, hats, bourbon, and mint.
None of that's bad.
No, so I wanted to ask you, given it is 'tis the season to horse race,
yes,
the biggest
yes.
one, and you have the mint julep.
Oh, yes.
What is the secret to growing, you know, great mint, other than just throwing it around the house? But, I mean, if you mm-hmm. really wanted a flavorful, you know, tasty, robust mint, mm-hmm. how do you grow that the best?
Have a faucet that leaks slightly, or an air conditioning, old-fashioned window unit that drips, mm-hmm. and plant it under that.
Okay.
Best mint I ever had. One of the first things that you do when you set up a greenhouse and you're working on a farm and you're doing these things is to begin to figure out where your money is going. And in fact, it goes to water, and it goes, you know, there's a lot of things. So you're always looking for those leaks to get them to stop being such a problem, because you don't want to lose any water. Well, it turned out that the mint patch that I was so devoted to was actually dependent on that tiny little bit of drip, and it really was minuscule. So after I realized that, it wasn't like I went and turned it back on, but I did have to be more careful to get things watered in that area. I've also seen beautiful pots of mint in the middle of a city several different times in different places, but where it just simply drips out of the air conditioning unit and into those pots. Now, it's not that you don't still water them, but they need to be so consistently moist that a mint bed is always going to appreciate that extra little juice, as it were, a little water all the time when you're not even thinking about it. Now, that brings us to how many different kinds of mint there are. So it's not that they grow differently, but some of them are more aggressive. So if you're trying to grow, for example, what they call horse mint, the classic southern peppermint kind of thing, don't put your apple mint or your lemon mint near it, because it'll run right over it. You'll never see those other ones again.
So there's obviously a lot of different types of mint. What would be more of a traditional style that you put into a drink or a cocktail? Be the normal kind of spearmint type?
It depends on the bartender, mm-hmm. clearly. But
you can get very detailed
if
you want.
But when you think about what they're mulling, it's usually peppermint. Not that there aren't people who prefer spearmint. Mm-hmm. I kind of like spearmint myself, but that's what
I love. A spearmint. I mean, mm-hmm. the gum especially. Just take that whole 5-pack, chaw it up.
Better than the bag of whatever the other the chew is. That's
yeah.
I'll go for the gum. If you're gonna do one of those things, go for the gum.
Well, Mamaw did. She was more of just a straight up Garrett snuff.
Yeah, so we all have a dipper in our background somewhere, but we've grown past that.
Yeah.
In most cases.
Hey, I wanted to mention, you know, before I get busy doing pictures, obviously it's the Kentucky Derby. You got some very colorful names in the Derby.
Uh-oh.
Doorknock, Sierra Leone, Mystic Dan, and you got to pick one out of this. Catching Freedom, Catalytic, Just Steal, Honor Mary, Just a Touch, Encino, he was scratched, so don't worry about him.
Okay.
T.O. Password, that's a Japanese horse, going to have a Japanese jockey. Forever Young, Japanese horse, Japanese jockey. Track Phantom, West Saratoga, Endlessly Domestic Product, Grandmo the First.
They sound like the names of beers.
Yeah, yeah. Fierceness, Stronghold.
They sound like...
Epic Ride. I'm rolling with Epic Ride just because of the name. Maybe he'll buck the jockey and take off through the pasture.
Just Steal.
I like that. Yeah, perfect.
Just Steal. It goes across several different things. The odds
don't matter in our picking.
No, we don't care about that.
All right, we didn't have a call.
We're not putting any money on this.
Yeah, so you're going with Just Steal.
Yeah.
I got Epic Ride. Like I said, I'm hoping for a bucked jockey, you know, bolting through the interior, going and drinking part of the drinks, and then going back to stable.
You know, my family are horse people, and... I have watched many of them, even with funny little hats on when I was a kid, and I have to admit that it is pretty exciting right then.
I'm glad
I don't have to do my whole life in it, but it's pretty exciting right
then. 2 minutes is awesome. All right, we'll roll over. Yeah,
Faith's in West Point. Welcome in. Thank you for calling today.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I want to know, can you plant? Well, I guess you can plant anything, but avocado seeds.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
And how do I bust this hard seed? I mean, how do I plant? Just tell me how I plant it.
Okay. The way that it's usually done, this is one of those projects that people do and they're surprised when it works. But if you'll take 3 toothpicks and a mason jar, not a big one, but one that you can suspend the avocado
like
over
jelly.
The mouth of, you know, like a jelly jar, and put just, you don't poke it all the way through. You're just poking the toothpick into the avocado enough to hold it over the water. You're going to make the water in the jar come just to the base of the avocado and keep it there. And you just let it float there. And the what you're doing also is wounding it a little bit, which means that the plant is then stimulated to try and survive, so it'll sprout. And if you do 3 of them, one of them will probably work. So
after it sprouts, then do I just plant it just like a flower?
It'll sprout, it'll make roots, and you can pot it up. They make wonderful house plants. We do have avocados that are hardy in Zone 8. But you're a little bit farther up into Zone 8 in West Point, and besides that, the varieties are not as readily available. So if you just buy the avocado and start the seed, I can't tell you which variety it was, you know, whether or not its parent is going to be in there or not. So, but it makes a beautiful houseplant.
I'm just trying. All right, water or not water? After I plant,
They need to be in soil that drains well, but yes, you'll want to water it regularly. You don't want them to dry out entirely.
Okay, all right. I appreciate your time.
All right, I look forward to pictures. Thank you, Faith. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Rebecca Turner, good things with Rebecca,
hey,
sent
Rebecca.
A beautiful picture of her hanging basket that
beautiful.
She purchased at Rivers. So that
beautiful,
looks amazing.
Beautiful,
yeah,
beautiful.
I'm going to have it up there in a minute.
That's gorgeous. We'll show that off to y'all. Thanks, Rebecca. You know, I'm not a pink person. I'm a primary colors for the most part, but pink petunias get me every time. Particularly the variety bubblegum is the one that's currently very hip. And it is falling out of favor, but I still like it. So I'm sure Peaches will be happy to tell you why he doesn't like them. He gets here because he just brought me the remains of his. And it's as big around as a chair. It was in a container, really huge, and it's already started to grow again. He cut it way back to get it to transport to me. So we'll talk about that a little bit today, too. Fun stuff. I've been focusing in on native plants a whole bunch for a couple of different reasons, and it occurred to me that I had never talked to you about the fact that there are flowering plants that will bloom in the shade. They are native plants. They're not, we're not talking dense shade where only cast iron plant will grow and hostas won't even bloom. I'm not talking about that dense of a shady place. But if it has moderate amounts of light during the day, it can be shade and still grow these things. One of the ones I wanted to be sure and call to your attention is Spring Beauty. It's Claytonia. This is another one of the plants that we spend a lot of time trying to get out of our gardens or out of our lawns. And it's really a lovely little plant that can be a ground cover in that space where the turf grass won't grow anymore. It can be accompanied by any number of other things. I'm kind of fond of Golden Star. I already mentioned Southern Shield Fern, which is a bigger plant, but will also do well in that circumstance. So that's fun. Uh-oh. Well, I'll have to look, Paula. I think you have thrips, but I'll have to look a little bit deeper. I'll look in there. Okay, now, here's a story. This is a good story, and I have just enough time to tell it in this segment. When I first started doing radio, I was determined to not give out bad information. And so I relied heavily on the things that I had been taught and the things that I had seen for myself, just as I do now. But I wasn't as experienced as I am now. And this lady called the program, said that her son had sent her flowers from overseas, roses. In those days when you could do R&R, rest and recreation or whatever they call that. Anyway, you would do that in Hawaii if you're stationed in Asia. And he was in the Philippines and went somewhere there and sent her roses from one of the islands in Hawaii. And she wanted to root one. And I went to great lengths to tell her that you can't do that. Well, of course, 6 months later, she brought me the plant where she had rooted it from the stick of the rose, the cut rose. No leaves even on it. Okay. Just because I have gone through all this to tell you about avocados, I'm so happy to tell you that Jeff and Brenda from Hattiesburg just sent a picture of their avocado tree in its container outside their house that they just stuck it into the container and it grew. So forget what I said. Stick that avocado into the soil and just let it grow. Now, I'm going to do one of each. If I've got two, I'm going to plant one. I've never seen one just sprout in a container, but you know, I know them. Goodness gracious, Jeff and Brenda always have stuff that they're sending us. So that's what I'm going to say. Do one of each. Do one my way and do one their way. And tell us what happens. tell us what happens later on. Ah, yeah, fiddleheads and alum root and, a whole bunch of things for the shady areas from the native plant group. We'll talk about that. Talk about some other tips. I've got a few things for your vegetable growers out there. And, yes, we have squash. Stick around. We'll be back.
That umbrella we employed it by August, she was mine. Every morning I would see her waiting at the stop. Sometimes she'd shop and she would show me what she bought. All the people stared as if we were both quite insane. Someday my name and hers are going to be the...
The Huntington's Disease Society of America South Region is hosting the third annual Mississippi Team Hope Walk, Saturday, May 18th at 9 a.m. at Flowood Nature Park in Flowood. Huntington's disease is fatal and genetic, described as having ALS, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's simultaneously. Join us in the fight against Huntington's disease at hdsa.org/THWMS.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
They're more identity.
With a brand new
keep a-wearing your green slips.
What fun. Y'all have, this is the best place anybody could be. I don't know where people are that aren't here with us today, because the Garden Mama Show has got so much. Y'all are so funny. I'm going to tell you some of these things. Okay, Trey sends the meme in. For those of you who are not already happening to do this, this may be why you want to go look at supertalk.tv on your device, your computer, your whatever it is. It's a picture of a man standing next to a road as if he has a sign. You know how the signs will say, need money, homeless, whatever it is. His says, need money, not homeless, wife wants more plants. So it's why this guy, poor guy has to go out and beg.
I got it up. I'm adding.
Did you get that one? Well,
yeah.
So Paula from Dentville has seen this one now, and she's going to get a t-shirt made for her boyfriend with that meme on it. So congratulations, Trey. You have made it into the next piece of our crazy world. Anytime we can pick up on each other's need money, not homeless, wife keeps buying plants. So
dog keeps eating plants.
There's
all kind of possibilities with that shirt.
Mine could just say I've lost my mind because I can't stop. I've got so many plants. And it's fun, but you know, that's what spring's all about. We get a little over our heads in some stuff. I will tell you that here on Naked Gardening Day, it's amazing as the years have gone by to see how many more towns and states want to compete. Everybody says they're in the top three, top five places. They can't all be in the top three or top five places.
Too many mosquitoes in some places.
Well, many places like here. But I this is the headline that really caught me. I love this one. In North Carolina City, I don't know which one, I didn't read the story. North Carolina City ranks among top five places for naked gardening. Something about North Carolina's weather and public nudity laws, or lack thereof, have made it a hot spot for naked gardening. Okay, y'all. Come on, North Carolina. Tell me about it. I know y'all are there. You're listening this morning. So much fun. So much fun. Paula has a couple of other observations for us. Oh, Alan, this was the other question I wanted to be sure to actually answer. And we're having so much fun that I may have missed some things this morning, but I'm going to get back on track. Now, Alan wants to know, will the cicadas eat the vegetables in the garden? If so, can you do something? The good news is, no, they're not generally known to do that. I presume that because they will eat a little something, usually twigs, usually, you know, the woodier things that they're accustomed to, because they do feed, the nymphs, the babies feed on tree roots when they're underground. They don't actually eat the roots, but they feed on the sap and the exudate from the roots. And then when they emerge, I don't know how to tell y'all this, they're just looking for a date. They don't really care about food that much. But when they do eat, they will eat twigs and new growth on trees and stuff. So I don't think you have to worry about your veggies. The cicadas have a different point of view. This is just a magnificent rose. I don't know what it is, but it has that beautiful, Kathy says she cleaned out an overgrown herb garden and found this beauty growing on the edge next to a bay leaf tree. I'm thrilled that it was there, because it's just a gorgeous golden rose. Not a sign of problem with it. I'm gonna say it's a doubled up rose pretty well. If it is fragrant, it could be in the Julia Child group or one of the ones that's related to that one. But it's a little bit more gold than some of the others, and that's really very pretty. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Let's see. Here's another one. Y'all are such good gardeners. Ray in Clinton says, you can wrap the avocado pit in a wet paper towel and put it on a sandwich, put it in the kitchen cabinet, and close the door. Give it 3 weeks, it'll root. Now, the trick is in remembering that it's in the sandwich bag in the cabinet, because in other words, dark is where he's put it. I love that. Oh, Rebecca, those are so beautiful. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous. And that's where we're going to be, of course, today at Rivers after the show. It'll be fun. Pretty, pretty, pretty. I saw a picture this week. I was looking for some things that Lance has me working, you know, overtime on stuff. And I was looking for some pictures. I found a picture that was my most magnificent year of night blooming cereus blooms. And the picture doesn't even have all of them in because there were a couple of branches that went a little further away from where I could actually get the camera. But there were 35 blooms in the picture. I was so happy to still have that one. This is what happens when you don't have a good photo filing system. If you get a new computer, take the time, figure out what you got. I think I have triplicates of most of my things that are good, and some of the others are not even that good. And I've still got triplicates. It's crazy. Just crazy. Well, hello. My goodness. How beautiful. Andrea has been to the Biltmore for their anniversary. They toured, and it is a gorgeous place. It is just a beautiful, beautiful place.
That's a place I'd love to go back to. It was a long time ago that I've been, but, man, what a cool spot.
The guy that I knew who was the director there was a colleague of mine, has been retired probably for 20 years, so that's how long it's been since I was there. All right. It is Paul. There's a high Paul Lind count. For those of you who have sinuses and pollen and all these problems, this was one of the funniest things that I had seen. And I don't bring them too much, but I had to bring this one. I think this particular picture has every picture of Paul Lynn's face that he ever shot in anything. It's just really funny. Blooming in the flowers instead of the flowers, because we all have Paul Lind. I know, it's a bad pun. You know they do to people who give bad puns? Oh, my, it's dangerous sometimes. We can't help it. We're amused, and we hope you will be, too. Oh, my goodness. Well, I think Jeff is... I'm sorry this happened, Jeff, but I think you have discovered something really, really smart about the deer population. You are correct. When they come in to eat your okra, they eat straight down the row. They don't go randomly. They go straight down the row. If deer number four comes in, deer number four picks up where deer number three left off. I've actually seen this happen. It was just, it's something. You're right. It's really funny. They are very, very herd animals. They know what they're doing, and they communicate with one another. And who knows, you know, that one random one down there might not be the right one. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they do. Interestingly enough. No more room in the front yard? Well, we'll start in the backyard. Oh, what a sweet wild rose. That's beautiful, Trey. That is tiny. Propagate that. We could make that a container plant to grow in the container with everything else. You know, take a look at it. You'll appreciate it. Let's see now. I'm sorry, that's Terry's. I was looking at the wrong person. So, Terry, please propagate it. That's Bogachitta. That's beautiful. I know that rose, and I can't tell you the name of it. I've seen it before, though. Just cool. Rhett, you are so correct. Seedlings will come up just about anywhere that they can manage to do. You know, they just can barely manage to do. Beautiful, beautiful flowers. Y'all have some gorgeous, gorgeous pictures today. Thank you, Paula. That's fun. Yeah, native or not, flowers are flowers. We love flowers. Just absolutely do. Let's see. Patricia from Van Cleve has something eating holes in the cucumber leaves. What can I do to get them to stop? Okay, first we have to determine what it is. If you see on the ground around the plants, or if they're in a container on the soil, on the top of the soil anyway, if there are slime trails, then you know you have slugs. Or you might have snails, but it's usually slugs. And they love, love, love a place that stays nice and wet and moist, like the underside of your cucumber leaf. And then they'll come in, hide there for a little while, get up, take a bite, and then go back to wherever they actually live, which is generally speaking in a dark spot, maybe under a wood pile, maybe under the edge of the house, maybe even in some cases under a stack of bricks. So just figure out what it is. If it's slugs and snails, there are products that you can shake around your plants. I'm not in favor of the pelleted types because those can be attractive to birds, which shouldn't eat them. But if you will get a granular product and put around those plants, you'll find that the snails don't cross it. You still have to find out where they're coming from. And if you can do that and disrupt that nest, you will have better success along the way. Excuse me. if it's not slugs and snails, it's probably a little tiny worm that's the same color as the leaf because that's what he's been eating, or she. And they're about a half an inch long. Cucumbers, all kind of things will be eaten by this particular little darling. And what I want you to look for in that case is a vegetable garden dust. And it will probably have, well, I can't really tell you. There'll be several different things in it. But you can control these critters with a spinosad dust, or spray, if you have seven, you know, I always want you to use up that seven if you've still got some. Use that up if you have it. But it is a chewing insect when it makes a hole that's not tiny. So when you need that particular product to control that problem. Really, really nice, though, to have any cucumbers going on. Jeff in Forest County, is it too late to plant moonflowers? No, you're right on time. It is hard to find the seeds. I didn't know that. I don't know that I've looked for any. But if y'all have a source for Jeff, let me know. Anna in Oxford, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. What's going on?
Well, last winter, and then the drought, created a problem for many plants. And now they're saying, hey, we better really make hay while the sun's shining, and mm-hmm. they're growing like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is in a wooded area, a pine tree was inundated and with vines, and something fell. And then leaves came out, and they were very healthy leaves. Yeah, they were three leaves. And I would say, oh, that's poison ivy. But no, it doesn't look like poison ivy. They're just very large, healthy leaves. And then they had flowers, lots of flowers. And I said, God, those are pretty. And then I said, no, they've got to be poison ivy. Well, they were.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got it all over my arms.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, I've never seen poison ivy flower.
Yeah, it does. And one of the reasons I know it does is because this is the first year in a long time. I've seen this in my childhood probably, but it's been a while since the year was so rough on them. And I've also had the physical removal going on at my place for a while. Not by me. I'm not that strong. But it is a very difficult plant to get rid of. And yes, they do bloom. They make beautiful berries. And now they're coming up in containers that I didn't. Usually if something comes up in one of my containers, it's an oak tree because an acorn fell in there. But in this case, I'm having a little bit more trouble because I've got poison ivy coming up in a couple of them. It's been a long time. But I do know that they made a lot of seeds last year, and that's why. The plants were stressed,
well,
and they were promoted.
These are on the vines, yeah.
Yeah.
And I, the only thing I can think of, because I obviously can't pull it out because I'm not going to get near it, spraying the flowers before they make seed.
Well, it won't hurt. You can cut them off with a hedge shear and that sort of thing, but since you're allergic to it, it's better to get someone else to do it.
Yeah, like who? My husband?
No, probably not. We have a friend who's a professional gardener who specializes in that, and believe you me, he's booked up because there's so much poison in it.
But this is large. I've got to get it out.
Well, I'm going to just tell you that the other thing that is the place to start is to cut it off at whatever vine point you can, whether it's climbing up something or climbing over something, any place in there that you can cut the vine itself so that it no longer has sustenance, it will begin to dry up and be a lot easier to get out of there later on.
I wish I could send you a photo, but unfortunately, I'm not able to because I'm not very good with phones. But it's wrapped around this dead trunk constantly.
Well,
brown, woody.
Somewhere it's coming out of the ground. And if you can cut that vine even along the trunk in several different places with a long-handled lopper, obviously, because you don't want to touch it, and then clean the lopper afterwards. But if you can cut it in a few places, it will help you in your ultimate goal of getting rid of it. It'll sprout closer to the ground, and then you can probably spray that if you need to.
When you've seen the poison ivy flowers, this one, I mean, they
lovely.
Look like
they're beautiful.
Well, they look like the privet, but it has an orange orange tint to it.
Yeah, they do.
Because it's also mixed with privet.
Oh goodness, what a mess! But it is a beautiful plant. I hate it does what it does to us. And by the way, Oatmeal baths are probably the most soothing thing you can do. So take care of yourself.
Well, I eat it every day, so maybe I should.
Maybe that'll help.
Bathe it.
Thank you, Anna. Oh, my goodness. More trails and tales of toil and trouble, and also a whole lot of fun. Stick around.
One voice, the voice of agriculture. We have one job, growing the products you need every day. We have one mission, fighting for agriculture and rural Mississippi. We have you in mind, caring for your private property rights. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
You know just what to say. It's time for the raucous ruckus. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? No. Okay. You know, there's all these expressions. There's boys will be boys, and fighting is normal, resolving is even better, and all these kinds of things. Well, turns out orangutans do fight. And in the case of this particular one, it was a bad wound. The Max Planck folks are letting us know about this, and indeed it's all over now. I hope you've had a chance to see it. He had a big mess around his eye, right below his eye, on the upper part of the bone below his eye. Skin was off. It was terrible. And what they caught him doing, or observed him doing, I should say, is chewing on the leaves of a plant, making a poultice and putting it on his eye. They've never seen orangutans do that before. They've never seen anybody do that before. I say it's because they're not paying attention, because I'm sure this is not the first time. Maybe a mama orangutan does this to a baby. Maybe you've seen another adult. Maybe it's the first rule of fight club, you know, you just don't talk about it, but you're an orangutan, so you do it. And I just wanted you all to know that the plant is actually a lovely plant. And it is a very nondescript, you know, but when you look at a plant with the names are just so delightful when we talk about how plants get their names and why they get their names. But in this particular case, what they're looking at is just one that's high on alkaloids, like so many other plants that we have, but we've not used this one, Fibraria tinctoria. Well, anytime it's got the tinctoria in it, think tincture. You know, it's going to be something that has a medicinal use to it. And it is, in fact, it's one of the lianas. If you do crossword puzzles, you know that one. Anyway, Jim's in So-So. I think it's fascinating. I think we're not paying enough attention, but that's another story. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Garden Mama. I hadn't been listening to your show here lately. I told Lance that I had shoulder surgery done about 2 months ago, and I'm not over that yet.
Oh, my goodness. I hope it gets better soon.
Hey, Lady Walker, what we called about that poison ivy?
Mm-hmm.
Garden Mama, I'm 74 years old. Back in 1964, we lived in Ellisville, and there's a creek across the road about a mile in the woods. We used to go there and swim all the time. And my two oldest brothers could not get in that water after a rain, because the rain would get on the poison ivy or shoemake and get in that water, they'd break out with it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
My oldest brother was always mean to me. And I'd reach and grab me a piece of that shoemaker or poison ivy. It don't bother me. And I could run him away from me like I had a live rattlesnake in my hand. Now,
you see,
this woman lived across the road from us, Miss Steady. She was, now, I was 14. She was up in her 70s at the time. My brothers would get that poison on them so bad, their backs and stuff. Mama would take her down there, and she'd take a slice. She'd take a fresh green tomato and slice it real thin and rub it on that. Do that a couple of times. That acid in that tomato will kill that poison.
Well, and I'm sure it does. I can't recommend it because I've never done it, and I don't have anything to cite other than your testimony, and I'm doubting you. I'm just saying, in my own anecdotal world, the oatmeal poultice, or in fact an oatmeal bath, if it's on enough of your body, tends to be what seems to work. Woo-wee.
Well, then you eat oatmeal, can't you?
Picnics in the rural parts of the world, you know. Thanks for weighing in on that. I appreciate that. I like the idea of you chasing him with the poison ivy.
But I got that stuff growing up. My pecan trees out here now, and I got to go get my machete, and that's what I'm going to do is cut them off at about 6-inch intervals all the way down to the ground.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Well, that's
thank you, Gordon.
Thank you much. Take care of yourself. There was a question today on the text line about what is the thing that makes pecan trees not make pecans. You know, that's a tough thing because there's several things that can be at play. But if a pecan tree has made pecans in previous years and just stops, it's generally thought to be a matter of fertility. And if you get a test done, particularly a leaf test on pecans, you will oftentimes find that what they miss and what they lack is zinc. Now, that's all presuming that it is ever produced, okay? Because there are pecan trees that never make a pecan, either because they're just not capable or because they are a pollinator that was never, or they never got pollinated. There's not another tree. But if the main thing that's going to keep them from ever making a pecan is going to be their lack of pollination, if they have made them before, something has interrupted that, and it may be the lack of zinc. So that's about as much as I can tell you about them. I do know a little bit more, perhaps, than most people do. Haven't enjoyed that so much, but I don't think there's anything else that would give you a pecan stopping making pecans. Beautiful, beautiful pineapples. Those are so gorgeous, and the first blooming cereus. Mary, that's wonderful. Just lovely. Really, really pretty. How fun. Yep, the garden's going well too. I'm still going to herald again 5 or 6 times that I've made 2 squash on the squash plant. I still can't believe it's happened. I have to give Mark credit for that. He brought me those, not the ones I started, but they're growing, but they're not ready to make squash yet. We talked about the cicadas, beautiful, beautiful rose. Y'all have got such good stuff going on here today. Fun things. Oh, my goodness. That's a good question, isn't it? Was it marigolds in a paper cup? What was it? What got you started? I think I grew up with people who had plants, and I was lucky enough to grow up in a house that had a yard around it that had plants that faced the levee, and there was the woods and all of its plants all the way to the Ouachita River. And that's where I grew up. I grew up with more plants than people. When I realized that you could study it in college, because I was in college already as an English major, that made a big difference in my life because I wanted to study something else and I wanted to write about. I'm not a real good fiction writer. I can tell you a story, but it isn't going to be as good as what I can tell you based on what I've actually learned and been educated for. So that's part of it. My first plant that was my own was a different matter, but I think I just grew up with more plants than people, and it was always comfortable for me. Oh, Sandy, that's beautiful. Lovely, lovely, lovely daisies. So pretty, so bright, so cheery. My goodness, that's wonderful. Let's see, how to get my sweet olive to flower. It's been, she bought it at a nursery, and it's in a nice big container. You know, generally speaking, the sweet olive is going to need to be maybe 4 years old before it starts blooming. And probably at that point, it'll be just you won't even have to think about it. Just one day in either October or February, you know, you'll just walk out there and suddenly it's in bloom. I do want to be sure that you understand that the first couple of years that you have any kind of woody plant, you do need to take good care of it in terms of watering it and giving it some fertilizer on a regular basis so that you can prepare it to be able to do what it's supposed to. In this case, I would just say some shrub and tree food would be fine this right now, maybe, or even in a month, but no later than the mid part of July. And then you can do that again next year. But you'll probably get some flowers after that pretty shortly. My goodness, the Bellamy brothers, where did they come from? You're having fun this morning. Thank you, Lance. Appreciate you. Now, look, we got a lot to do. Peaches is coming in here. I got paper all over the place. It's World Naked Gardening Day, and, well, may the 4th be with you. Woodstock and the day John Lennon died. How the music made him happy, and the silence made him cry. Yeah, he thinks of John sometimes, and he has to wonder why.
It's a big job keeping a whole planet fed. More American producers are turning to the fuel that gives them the power to do it, propane. With lower costs, cleaner emissions, and greater reliability, propane can do more around your operation better than any other fuel. And with an abundant supply made right here in the U.S., you're helping America stay energy independent. We've got a world to feed, so let's get to work in a clean energy revolution. Energy for everyone, propane. For more information, visit mspropane.com.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from three licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Oh, the things you want to do, the things you think about. Good grief, it's spring. Wowie zowie. For those of you who are joining us on supertalk.tv, Lance has really outdone himself. We now have two pictures of plants and two pictures of people, and he's not even one of them. Look, good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
See, look, you can see yourself today.
I was in a sea of sun patients.
Surprise! Sun patients. Oh, more about them in a minute.
Yes.
So many texts. Good grief. Trey has sent us, be a weed. A weed is the plant that has mastered every survival skill except for learning how to grow in rows. I told him he knows me too well.
Yes.
And we are just admiring already the baskets that we're going to be giving away today at Rivers. I've been talking about that this hour. But right now I need to wander on back into the actual business of this program, which is this text board, which is now needs another whole screen to it because there's so many of y'all. Beautiful cannas. Thank you, Kent and Brandon. Those are absolutely gorgeous. Carrie's Cleaning Service is sending us the most beautiful roses. Everybody's got such beautiful things blooming. Where do peonies need to be planted? I love this. A lady I dog sit for has a small patch, and they're pretty, but they get beaten up. And that's not uncommon with peonies if they don't have enough sun.
Right.
Their stems can be so weak, you know, and they'll just, you know, and that beautiful flowers laying there breaking your heart.
One of my neighbors has a peony that she inherited when she bought the property, and it's right by her dryer vent.
Ah.
And the kids play there, and I'm like, I went over there and put a shovel against the house. And I said, do not let the kids play here.
Yeah.
I said, but when it starts looking bad, you might as well just mow it, but keep it protected.
Yeah, keep it protected.
Yeah.
Peonies are so odd. They grow much better. Well, where you're from Missouri all the way to Illinois to my friends and big old things. There's one this morning in here. I'm happy to tell you that Pam in Sardis has sent the flowers 6 inches across, and she has the tape measure on it to prove it. She wants to know how to propagate. I'm going to say digging and dividing is really dangerous.
But
if you're going to do it, dig the whole clump up.
Yes.
And do it on a really nice day in the early fall.
Right.
I mean, it's hard. If you do it in the early spring, it's not going to bloom that year, and then it may get too wet and the roots get ruined. But I'm going to say early fall. Hopefully, it won't be a hurricane at that moment.
Yeah, and I have an opinion on that, too. They don't like to be moved.
No.
If it's not a patch the size of a wash tub, I would leave it alone.
That's true. Yeah. Now, on the other hand, if your dog is laying on it, and then, like you said, the dryer vent's hitting it, probably we're going to end up digging that one
up. You know, I think your dryer vent helped.
The dryer vent helps, but the children don't help.
The children don't help.
Isn't that something? Crazy stuff. That's fun, though. Chris, you have knocked me off my chair from Meridian today. The Spigelas, the Indian pinks. Yes. For y'all, they're neither Indian nor are they pink. Okay? Now, they do have a slightly pink root, and that's what they're called, named for. But they're Spigela, and they're just beautiful. Those red tubes and the yellow flowers shooting out the end of them is just a joyful sight. Another thing that will bloom in the shade. It doesn't do well in full sun.
No, it's kind of an understory. Mm-hmm. If you find it, you know, in the woodlands in Mississippi, it's usually right on the edge of a forest.
Exactly. That's where you will see it. And you'll look at it and you do a double take. You know, it's
and
like
then all of a sudden it's gone.
And it's not
And you're like, what did I see?
What was that?
Yeah.
Maypops will do that too.
Yes.
Suddenly they're there. And then the next time you walk past, it's not there.
Right.
It's really fun. One more question on the peonies. Will the peonies do well being planted in a large container? I would rather a raised bed, but
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, the only problem with doing something like that in a container is when they're done, and then you have a container that's not all that pretty.
It needs to be on the back row.
It's like people that, you know, and I have disclosure, I don't mind. If you want to put hydrangeas in a container, go right ahead. It's your world.
Mm-hmm.
But
we only live here.
Right. Yeah.
But man, that's hard to do.
And, well, when they're done blooming, they're just not pretty anymore.
Yeah.
So unless you can afford to swap them out and go put them in the yard when you're, you know, they're done blooming, I would suggest something else.
Roll them to the back row, maybe.
Yeah.
Picture of a plant that she's telling me is Beauty Bush. There actually are two, Andrea. It's a Linnea or it's a Colcurtiana, Colicina, anyway. Yeah, we're the very deepest south of their growing zone. It's another thing. If you were in Missouri, they'd be beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
They're just lovely.
Like the gooseberries are.
Much like the gooseberries.
Yeah.
But, yes, you can grow it. I'm going to say only morning sun and none direct, and it's probably not ever going to be as lush and thick as it would be somewhere else. But on the other hand, the flowers are really pretty.
They are.
It's a nice plant. Very sweet plant. Is this my sister says this is a daisy. I never want to disagree with your sister, but it does look like it might be. So since we don't have any flowers to tell us, it looks like it could be. I have a Becky daisy right now that looks just about like the one that she has planted here because it has that serrated edge on it.
Yes.
And the leaf is pretty distinct. So it's a young plant, so I don't know.
Gotta love you some Becky.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful plant. Oh, this is a good one. Dave, beautiful roses, Dave, in Hernando. But he's got a plant there that he wants me to tell him what it is. I don't know. I would dig it up and get it out of the way and then figure out what it is. I can't tell from the picture what it is, but it looks like it could be a sprout of a Nandina or some other woodland plant that you don't necessarily want in your roses.
And don't feel bad because Garden Mama tells me sometimes, I can't tell from your picture. It's fuzzy.
And I'm blind, so that's the other part.
There you go. You know,
I'm not blind. Take that. No, don't. Yeah. Y'all don't get excited. I have very bad eyesight. I'm one of those people that never learned trees until I had to make a leaf collection, because even with glasses, I can tell you the difference between a pine tree and something else, but I couldn't tell you if that oak leaf on that tree was big or small or rounded or pointed or whatever. You know, I can't see that.
I just suddenly remembered having to do a leaf collection like elementary school.
Yeah, we did those.
I've
had several. And here's the thing. Talked about this last week. All of that glue gets eaten by the bookworms because that's what they actually live on. Yeah. So that's why they're making non-glutinous glue now to try and keep those leaf collections will last forever. It's kind of frightening.
Archival glue.
That's right, archival glue. Yikes. I don't know what to think about that one. Trey, that Calhoun County Garden looks beautiful. He's planting rattlesnake beans. I'm telling you, he knows who I am. He knows exactly who I am. It's so much fun.
Rattlesnake beans.
They're so good.
I have to tell you that my climbing squash.
Yeah?
I have...
Have climbed. They've climbed.
They're starting to. Yeah.
That's fun. I love that. Let's see what Sue's got going on. Her blueberries are loaded, and the blueberries, she wants to fertilize them. Well, I'm not going to fertilize them while the berries are on, because if things don't go as you wish, all the fruit will fall off, and then you'll be mad at me. But we fertilize and prune right after we pick the fruits. Okay, so do that. What to use, organic fertilizer formulated for berries or a solid soil acidifier, it's not going to make any difference. 434, I don't know what they want on this. Unless your soil needs acidifying, I'm just going to use the other fertilizer and continue to use pine bark mulch and compost and the other things that you would use to keep the soil acid. I don't know. The label says to apply twice a year, early and late spring. That's if you're growing the plant. Yours already have blueberries on them. So we don't want to... I'm telling you, that's one of the biggest mistakes people make. So they go out there, they've been feeding those tomatoes or whatever it was, you know, every 2 weeks or something, and they keep doing it, and then they wonder why the fruit falls off. And it falls off because it's gotten... It literally has caused the tissues behind it to close up.
It's almost like overdosing your vegetables.
You've overdosed
or
them
your fruit,
and they stop
because
they can't go any farther. Hydrangeas are looking great, but she will get the dreaded fungus that starts out as brown dots and slowly turns the bush so ugly. Should I start spraying the plants with fungicide now? This is Sue and Brandon. Yes. As soon as the leaves emerge, if you know you've got that particular, it's either entosporum or cercosporum or the other, that's the same thing as on Indian hawthorn. It's the same little creature that you've got to keep from destroying the beauty of those plants. Not because it's okay right up until the point where it debilitates the plant so much that it doesn't bloom the next year. Then you get really mad at it. Well, by then it's, you can't do anything. So as the leaves are coming out, spray them. And yeah, you got to spray every 10 days until they're fully emerged. And you still may get a little bit of the dots, a little bit of the leaf spot, but not as much. Works on Japanese maples, works on dogwoods, if you've had this problem.
Ligustrum.
Oh. Yeah. We can let the ligustrums go. I don't care about that.
Okay. I forgot I said that ugly word.
I'm still trying to kill mine. So if I could just get them to die, I would be so much happier. Oh, my goodness. How beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. This is oak leaf hydrangea. Yes, it is. And it's lovely. Lovely, lovely. Those are the seed heads, from the amaryllis that were in the container with it. That's really sweet. It's her granddaughter asking these questions.
Okay.
Can the seeds, once they're dry and mature, be planted? Yes. And she's young enough to do that because it takes 25 years to grow an amaryllis.
Patience.
Now, if you're growing amaryllis or iris or any of these other things that make that clob, it's just really a big, ugly seed head. Looks great when you spray paint it with some bright color, though. It's very, very attractive in a flower arrangement.
Sure.
But in the garden, unless you're planning to breed the plants or you want to grow some from seed, you end up with a mess like I have, where the gladiolas all seeded out. And I didn't move them out of the bed. I left them there. And now I've got 400 tiny little seedlings coming up. There's not ever going to be a gladiola. And there's nothing that eats it either. I've tried. But
it's like the old saying, like hair on a dog's back.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
All of it. Got too much of it. So much fun. But that's about the way a beautiful oak leaf hydrangea.
It looks to be a year that there's, what didn't die or burn up in the drought and the heat is bouncing back like roses and oak leaf and all these photos you're getting.
A lot of things that we have not seen as pretty.
Last year, everybody was woe is me, and now all of a sudden,
I'm happy to announce that there's at least one or two of the truly dead-looking boxwoods that I pass by every week that have got some leaves on there. Now, they're only on the outside. It's still not a solution, but at least it's not as ghastly to look at as it was.
Yes.
So, anyway, that's the other piece of that. Paula's going to try those peonies. If you go to grow a peony, okay, here's another piece of the peony puzzle. There are peony seasons. There's early, mid, and late. Hardly anybody except the peony growers pay any attention to this. As a southerner, you need to get the ones that are early.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you'll end up with the little knots, and then the flowers can't open because it gets too hot.
Yes.
And then the flower heads fall off. And that's really depressing. You've gone through growing all this thing, and it gets the flowers on it, but they don't ever open. No.
And they just go.
Festiva Maxima is a good one. That big double pink that y'all have. I don't think it's Sarah Bernhardt, but it looks like it.
Yeah.
That's another one that's a good one.
I believe the one that my neighbor has that I spoke of is Fiesta Maxima. But it almost didn't get open enough to show that pink.
Got to get down in there and see that
because
coloration.
We got 3 inches of rain in 30 minutes. You know, something like that effect.
Kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's like, it's all sad. And I said, cut it, take it inside, put it in a glass of water, and enjoy it while you can.
We're back to the leather world. It's not going to have your sofa. And hoeing ain't easy. I have that T-shirt, y'all. My son gave me that T-shirt, and he does love me. But it's a joke. It's very funny. And, of course, the classic, I just need a few things at the garden center.
Yes.
But you can't see out the car anymore.
I know.
So that's my life. That's the good news.
Yeah, I felt that myself recently.
Just beautiful.
At least once.
It's Carrie in Winona with the beautiful roses. I love Drift. I love the absolute aggression of those roses when they get going. Yeah. I mean, they're just crazy. My neighbor doesn't prune his, so his are like 4 feet tall. And this year, they are beautiful. Other years, they'll be like a flower over here and a flower over there.
Right.
You know. But this year, they all bloomed. So I'm hoping he's going to get out there and prune them afterwards. It would make a lot of sense. Just a few things at the garden center.
Just a few.
Is there any contraindications to using free pasture fertilizer? My ancestors were very successful. I presume that you're talking about manures from animals grazing and whatnot. And certainly we use that as an ongoing source of nutrition in our gardens. Just have to compost it first.
Yeah, and get ready for the weeds. You know,
there will be some, but that's another reason why you compost it to a very high temperature.
And get it hot enough.
Very high temperature, you'll kill a lot of those weed seeds.
Yeah, but don't just throw it in the garden straight out of the pasture.
No. And it's the same reason the weed seeds are as much of a piece of any of these things as the actual burning up of your plants, because they will do that. Somebody sent an interesting question to me this week that was, I'm told that I should use this agriculture grade, you know, 24, 24, 24, something, on my lawn. But then the label says, don't get it on your leaves, you know. I said, yes, it is a conundrum.
Yes,
and directions are not always what they also should say right after that is water right after you use this.
Exactly.
But no lawn in anywhere, as far as I'm concerned, needs 24, 24, 24 anything. Sorry to disagree with y'all at the Cooperative Extension, because that's who gave him the advice, but I'm going to tell you why. Nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Do you know that the biggest fertilizer manufacturers in the nation do not put any phosphorus in there anymore because we have such high levels residually? That's why your lawn foods will be 16-0-20 or something. You know, they have plenty of phosphorus to keep plenty of potassium to keep things strong. You've already got it, though. You know, you don't need any more.
So if y'all heard that message, you should be sitting 6 feet from her. I got the hand motions and everything.
They're all right here. If they're not watching TV, they can't see it. I can't help it. There are a few things that I just if you're raking up your leaves and putting them out on the street for the town to pick up or putting them in bags to send to the landfill and then going and buying fertilizer, at least buy the right fertilizer.
Yeah.
At that point, buy you some slow-release lawn food.
You know, over the years, having, you know, done my fair share of time in retail, I have seen several soil tests, and almost every single one of them said the same thing.
Isn't that the truth? You think that they just kind of print them out. Beautiful, beautiful arbor, Nancy. Thank you very, very much. Rhett, that's just lovely. Apple trees. Going. He's got a tomato that came up in the driveway. I love it. Hey, listen now, y'all. Get ready for a little bit of a surprise. We're going to switch places.
Uh-oh.
Mark's going to watch the texts. We're going to test his vision and also his coordination. No, he's done this 1,000 times, y'all. It's just his first time in here.
Y'all, I've been set up.
Stick around, because we'll be back.
She held a hard time. You got to know. She's a sensitive guy.
Every child of a parent with Huntington's disease has a 50-50 chance of inheriting the Huntington's disease, which is described as having ALS, Parkinson's, and Alzheimer's simultaneously. Join us in the fight against Huntington's disease at the 3rd Annual Mississippi Team Hope Walk, Saturday, May 18th at 9 a.m. at Flowood Nature Park in Flowood. To learn more, visit hdsa.org/THWMS.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Says, why am I short of attention? Got a short little span of attention, and all my nights are so long. Where's my wife and family? What if I die here? Who'll be my role model now that my role model is gone, gone? He ducked back down the alley with some roly-poly little bat-faced girl. All along, along, there were incidents and accidents. There were
great song. Wow. Okay, let me turn that down.
Just call you Peaches.
Yeah, Peaches. Thanks.
That's for you, baby. Got the great shirt on today.
Yeah. You know,
matching up with the flowers that are coming.
I forgot my buttons, but like I told you, you know.
In the right T-shirt on under there?
Peach on peach. Yeah. You don't do that, right?
No. Not on TV, huh?
Like white on.
Yeah, put a peach screen behind you.
Right.
It would just be that head.
White on white. Yeah. One of them's going to look beige and not white. Always.
Pasty sometimes. I got to figure that one out on what color, you know, is bad for me. Roll on, brother.
Okay.
You're in the saddle.
So today, Nellie has assigned me to talk to you about pools and pool plants. And I have got, wow, I'm going to grab my phone here. It's kind of crazy. And some patience. And wow, there's so many colors. I don't know how many photos I sent Nell yesterday and the day before, but there's a variety of colors. It's a great plant. It's called a sun patient, not because it needs full sun, but because it will take some sun. Warning, they are thirsty. If you're going to use a lot of them, be prepared to water. But they do look great poolside because they're big and they're bold. The flowers are huge. Just, you can't go wrong. There's orange, there's rose, there's candy. The list goes on and on. The reason she asked me to talk about pools is I have a little bit of experience around my own pool and around other people's pool, etc. My best advice is to go big, go bold. Decide how much watering you want to do, what kind of watering system you want. Do you want to hand water? Do you want to put in irrigation? How much money do you want to spend? Wow, there are lots of photos coming up today. I wonder if we're getting any pool photos. Not yet, right?
Not yet. Need some pool photos, guys. Y'all.
It
is the season for the pool.
You know, banana trees, palm trees. There's a small list of guaranteed palm trees that will survive here. So if you're picking out palms, make sure you go somewhere that they actually know which ones. A lot of times, roadside stands, these little palms that are shock and awe, they're not going to make it. You've got pendo, you've got windmill, you've got palmetto. Those are just a handful of them, and then there's more. There's more. Just make sure you go to a reputable garden center at where they know what they're talking about. Let's see here. Nellie kind of set me up with this today.
When you're doing gardening around your pool, if you're, is it okay to like plant vegetables and things of that nature close, given you have chlorine and those things, the fumes, that's not going to harm anything?
One of the lessons I learned last year is banana trees are really sensitive to salt water.
Mm-hmm.
The temperature was so high that we have jets that, you know, shoot out over the pool and cool the water down. We had to run them last year because the water temperature was like 95, you know, and you couldn't even swim in it. Well, the salt, because of the jets, the salt water would run off to the banana trees, and they started turning black. So by the end of swim season, I had my banana trees cut down to almost nothing. So I've had to cut those back, not actually, rehome some of them, get them away from the runoff of the pool. Because, you know, even at, you know, 58.9 years old, I will occasionally do a cannonball.
Oh, yeah. And what are there plants that you would plant in the areas where you do have runoff that are good for, you know, that kind of spot?
Well, you know, some things just aren't sensitive to it at all. It doesn't bother papyrus, or some people call it umbrella plant. It's also called bulrush.
That's not the stuff you can make paper from.
It is originally, yes.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know that papyrus, you know, in a biblical sense, was bulrush, which is, you know, as the story goes, you know, baby Moses was found in the bulrush. That's papyrus. Not sensitive at all, and it's big and it's bold. But if you get the big one, you're going to have to keep it in check. Cannas, I noticed this morning, I have one about to bloom, which is a little early. My stuff around the pool is growing leaps and bounds. Elephant ears are a great one. And I'm talking all about tropicals because that's the type of pool that we have. If you want a formal pool, you're going to be picking shrubs. Stay away from thorny things. Hollies, you know, if you fall in a bathing suit into a holly, like a pointed holly, no fun.
No.
I see a lot of roses around pools, and I'm like, what were you thinking? And, you know, avoiding messy plants. And when I say messy, it's things that shed a lot. I've learned some lessons about vincas, because they do shed a lot, and that gets into your pool. Mm-hmm. Crepe myrtles.
Yeah, crepes are rough. You know, doing a little, as a homeowner will move. And then they said they've moved to California or Minnesota, and their house is vacant, and it's 30 days to the closing, and they'll inevitably go, hey, to my mother, hey, do you know somebody that can clean the pool or take care of it for a month for us? And I'm always the guy. I like doing it. It's therapeutic.
Oh, yeah. It can be.
The crepe myrtles. When you do that a few times and you notice where the crepes are, you're like, man, if I ever have a pool, if I ever plant anything around a pool, it is not going to have pine straw around it,
right,
or crepe myrtles. Those are the two things. Big oak trees. You got to have something that is shady. But so how do you solve that? What is something that doesn't really, you know, shed much, but does provide the shade you're looking for? An umbrella? I mean, is that what we're down to? Are there things that do grow thick and don't drop a lot?
There are. And, you know, since Nellie is out of the room, I will say, ligustrum's not a bad one.
Mm-hmm.
It only blooms for a short time. It can cause some people allergies. But once it's blooming or done blooming, you just trim those off and you've got an evergreen. Mm-hmm. And they can get quite large.
And I love an evergreen. I love seeing the palms around pools too. What is the trick though? Because there's a couple palms at our house, and one is huge. It's been there forever.
Right.
And I inherited one from somebody that had moved and couldn't take it with them. And it's about as big around as say a softball or larger.
And
that the other one is like when you see at the beach, and it's gone through 30 years of wind and bad weather, but it's sitting between two houses.
Is it
houses.
Doing this?
No, it's actually been sheltered enough because it's between two houses and then up against a fence about a 3-foot drop from it. So it's got a little cubby there its spot.
Like a little microclimate.
It has its own little, but it is beautiful. It is the top of the house.
Right. Height. Yeah, and that's what everybody wants.
Yeah, and is there a trick to that?
Well, there is a trick. It's kind of like a camellia. I always tell people, buy the largest one you can afford.
Mm-hmm. Up front. Going to get some
Start
maturity
big.
To it.
Yes.
Yeah.
I grow mine in large containers because of the setup of the pool at home. I buy fairly large ones, but they're in a pot that's 3 feet tall. So you put a 3 foot palm in a 3 foot tall pot, suddenly you have a 6 foot palm.
How fast would they grow?
They grow faster than you think they do.
Really?
Some of them. Yeah. Windmill is super slow. Pendo is faster. But in five years, I've lost four palms. But I just pull them up and replace them.
What is the usual cause to lose them? Is it going to be a climate that we have here?
It's our climate. Those real tough, short blasts of cold took some out. When you're watering a palm, try to keep water out of the core because they will actually develop a fungus in the core and it'll rot the center. And once you rot that center out, there's a couple of things you can do. One of them sounds, you know, kind of like snake oil, but I've read this on Facebook somewhere or online. Who knows?
I read it somewhere. The world today. You never.
Yeah, and I just rolled my eyes. I'm sorry. That you could pour peroxide down in the core, and it helps get rid of the fungus. I had one looking bad, and I did that for an entire summer. About every 2 weeks, I'd go buy a 50-cent bottle of peroxide and pour it in the middle, and it kept it alive almost a year.
Really? Did it end up giving way later? But it did.
Yes. Probably during the wet season, because you can't keep the rain out of there. Mm-hmm. But when you're watering them, you want to water the roots, not that core.
Yeah.
You know.
What is there down in this climate? What would be the ones that people would want around their pool if they're building a house right now and they're listening, going, "Hey, you know, I want that palm. I don't want some stunted little thing that's going to take 10 years and it's 6-7 feet tall. I want one of those huge, robust looking ones." A, what is that one? And B, where do you get something like
windmill?
That?
You want a windmill palm. More than likely. Mm-hmm. Pendos are good, but they are a lower growing and they get wide. They can get 25 feet wide.
Wow.
At maturity, but they're not very tall. Mm-hmm. But a windmill is going to have that kind of lollipop straight up with a canopy or umbrella. That's going to be windmill. There's some others that there's some controversy about how hardy they are, like a mule palm. And it all depends on our winters.
Yeah.
You know, plant them early spring or in the dead of winter. Water them in, leave them alone, do plenty of soil prep because they like sandy soil. They definitely hate our clay. You know, you can't carve a hole and stick a palm in it and expect it to live.
How big do the roots end up spreading on a palm?
They go straight down.
They go straight down.
Yeah.
Okay.
They do pretty much, and they're hard to dig up.
So if you're going to be, say, doing the backyard, you've got the pool in, you're building your house, or you're putting in the pool now, might as well go in and dig out a bit. Where you want to lay your palms.
So
you want to put good dirt, good sandy dirt in there and soil.
Add some extra sand.
Right.
Give it good drainage. That's why I do mine.
I've seen the price tag. They're not cheap.
Oh, no. No.
Those are a little shiny penny.
I took some photos at a local garden center yesterday for one of my clients that I'm working with on the side of some palms. But, you know, this lady's, you know, I don't want to say money's no object, but she wants wow. Well, if you want Disney, you know, it's $100+ to get into Disney, right?
Right.
Yeah, you got to pay for it.
You're paying for the brand and the fun and the predictability. And
yeah. Well, you know, here's a windmill palm I took a photo of yesterday. Once it's in the ground, it's maybe 4 or 5 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
It's close to $400 probably. Yeah. They're not cheap because they...
You almost kind of want to drive across the border and go find somewhere where let's take a little trip with a flatbed and let's go get some palms.
I don't know across the border, but there are places south of here that if you've got a trailer and you can go pick up what we call a B&B, which means ball and burlap. Mm-hmm. It's not even in a pot.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen those. I've seen them on 49, honestly, a few times.
Oh, yeah.
So they're heading south.
Yeah,
and they're getting a deal and bringing it home. Well, if you know the other thing about pools, when you have a how far away from the pool, if you're designing one from scratch or you're putting in a pool, how much space do you want to say away from the water? And you got your layout, you know, your concrete, your patio, and in that, What would be safe to say to don't put your plants this close? You know, at least stay this far back, or just for the sake of maintenance, or you know, I mean, you've seen a lot more pools and the layouts, and I have the ones that look beautiful, and then you got stuff that gets real cramped sometimes. I mean, I guess if you want that kind of ambiance of plants on top of you, but I mean, you see it every way. But what do you think? Is the
You're testing me, Lance.
What do you like?
Well, some lessons that we learned when ours was going in is have way more deck than you think you need, because you never have enough places. Because, you know, when you have a pool, you have friends you didn't know you had.
It's like a boat and a truck.
Exactly.
In a pool.
Yeah.
They all go together. Oh, you got new friends all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's another thing you've got to take into consideration. All the deck you can muster, you know, because it's never enough. We had made an error on our design. Well, the pool installer, they made an error. Well, to fix their error, we ended up with more concrete deck, and we were like, what would we have done without it? So overdo it
with the decking.
Yes. Know. And, you know, as far as planting, that's, you know, there's people that design them for a living. You got to be really careful with that. At home, it's 3 feet wide, 3.5 feet wide, mm-hmm. About 50 long. So it's about maybe 80, 60 feet. And it's only 3 feet wide.
About 3 feet wide. Though,
yeah. But it's small enough that in this little postage stamp of a backyard, which is not that small, I can keep it groomed. Mm-hmm. In a couple of hours every morning, you know, I went out this morning and touched some things up. Even though it is naked gardening day, I had clothes on.
Well, this song is for naked gardeners today. Don't y'all stop till you get enough. You
know? Oh, is it? Yeah. Well, you know what else is this weekend? The Kentucky Derby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's all about hats, too.
Yeah, hats and juleps, baby.
Do you naked garden with a big hat on?
I will.
Anyway, of course you will. Leave yourself enough space to be creative, and if you have somebody, get a reputable designer to help you with it. Does that help? All right.
Of course. Thank you.
Well, we'll be back right after this. I'm anxious to see what Lance has picked out.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Welcome back. Who picked out the music today?
Lance.
Good work, Lance.
Thank you. I'll be performing here starting Monday.
I'm having an 80s flashback.
Tip your waiter.
All right. Well, welcome back. Nellie's back.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for coming back.
It wasn't so bad.
No.
It's really funny, y'all. People do things, and then they don't do them for a minute or two, or a year or two. And then, surprise, guess what?
You
still, it's like riding a bicycle. You can still ride the bicycle.
Thanks, y'all. We have gotten some good questions. Y'all are fun. Told Mark we've got a phone number, but we don't have a name. So that's when we say,
let's make up
Carrie
a name.
From Clarksdale. Or yeah, this I like is somebody from somewhere.
Carrie from Clarksdale. Jelly Palm, you know, depending on exactly where you are, is not going to be cold hardy in Mississippi.
It's one of the ones on the cold hardy list, but it's not as hardy as Windmill, and it's not as hardy as Pindo either.
No. If you live on Cat Island, it might be hardy.
Or even if you were just south of Hattiesburg.
Yes.
You'd be fine.
Pindo is way more reliable in our climate, way more. And, I mean, Pindo is almost up to that Grenada corridor.
And in fact, as the zones have shifted, you know, things are getting a little further north.
Yeah.
Read an article this week about somebody having fire ants in, like, Ohio. And I thought, oh, dear, I hope they came on in a truck and didn't, you know, get there on their own. Because that's how they got here from Mobile, of course.
Yeah. And we didn't touch on fire ants around a pool. That's an issue.
That's another question, isn't it?
And sun patients, you know,
I fell in love with sun patients, and I didn't want to. I feel like impatience can take the shade, and they are beautiful, and they bloom there. I don't need another one in the sun.
The name is deceiving.
Well, then I got sun patients, and they're beautiful. I love them.
They're thirsty.
That's true. You have to water.
It's just like people. If you hang out in the sun too much, you're going to need lots of water.
Well, and it's like growing coleus in full sun.
Yes.
You have to water.
That's another one Love it around the pool. I noticed there's some outside the building now.
Yes,
and I'm like, these are going to be fun
week.
To watch.
They're fun. I love coleus because they are not entirely indestructible, but they're pretty close.
Oh, yeah. Pretty close. Well, you know, if you throw your Frisbee and your 9-pound schnauzer runs through them, it's not good.
That's another story.
It is.
But midsummer, you can still cut them back.
You can. You can.
And they'll come right back.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah. So, we have another.
Oh, fun. Who else is up there?
Let's see. That's the Spigelia. I'm new at this. It's my first day.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We got you.
So today's Naked Gardening Day.
Oh, yes, it is.
And while you were away, among other things, I mentioned ligustrum. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Okay.
It's Kentucky Derby weekend.
Oh, yes, it is.
It is.
Fascinators.
I even brought my Kentucky Derby hat.
Well, I don't have any flowers on mine, but I did bring my hat.
And I had a scarf.
Fascinators are the silliest hats that have ever been made, possibly after... Well, no, they're about the silliest hats that have ever been made.
Well, you know,
but why not? You know,
why not?
You know, if you're going to do all that, why not?
Yeah, it's like a sign I bought for a friend. If the shoe fits, buy it in every color.
Exactly.
If the hat fits, buy two.
That's right.
As I was putting away my Scullies this week, I'm like, I forgot I had so many hats.
Well, and that's the thing. We talk about what you should do to take care of yourself in the gardening world. And if you happen to be a man with less hair on top of your head than you did have at one time, perhaps.
Yes.
You don't realize how dangerous that is.
Oh, no.
Put your hat on, dude. Mine has a little thin spot, but it's always had it, and I wear a hat because
I have graduated to 100 SPF.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, in a spray, and smell good, thanks to my friend, you know.
No idea.
I got a buddy that says, if you use this, smell good.
I'm sure every barber would like for their customers to use that have shaved heads or have no hair, either way, by choice or by chance. But because it's so dangerous.
Well, I went and got my hair did yesterday.
It's a lot of territory.
Lucky for me, it's only $5.
We have one question I wanted us to get to. If you see Rusty on the text line, this is an apple tree I have in my orchard. Can it be straightened up without damage? Please answer by text. I'm not on the radio, but I'm sure that others have that same issue with a leaning tree.
There's Rusty.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've seen that before, too, and I also was very curious as to how can you, without damaging the plant or the tree, straighten that baby up?
Yeah, it's an old apple, and it's really leaning. There's not much you can do.
It's hard. You have to prop up the one side, and then... You have to take a rope and pull the other side. But unfortunately, a mature tree is not necessarily going to react as well as you'd like. But that's the way you do it, is gradually.
Yeah.
You do put something up to keep it from going any farther in the direction it's leaning. and hopefully so your fruit can ripen.
Oh, wow. But, okay. But
and that looks like about what Rusty has done is trying to keep it from maneuvering any further in that angle.
I will say this. I had to take down, there was an apple tree that was dead and diseased in my garden when I first got my house here. It made some of the best wood for smoking chicken I've ever had in my life. So there's always a use for a dead tree, all right? And if it has to be let go of, you don't have to just let go of it. You can make a bowl out of part of it and eat some of it and, you know, do all of that. So
wow, this hour's ticking by fast.
Bang, bang, bang. It's quick. Fastest time in radio.
Paula and Dent from Dentville wants to.
I wish I could be there.
Wants to know if Lance is coming with us to the Garden Center.
I'm going to do an awesome handyman show and then Paula, get a little baseball to do. And Paula also wanted to tell you that
I want
to
know if Paula's boyfriend is coming.
A cannonball is good to do at any time, Peaches. So you go, no matter the age, you can do a cannonball.
I've done a few, believe me.
You can do a cannonball. I've done a few. You want.
Fun stuff.
But Paula, be careful what you ask for.
Yeah, you really do have to be careful what you wish for. You're dangerous.
I'm a handful, too. but no, I would love to go and hang out with you guys. That would be a treat. And one other thing, Buddy and I, we've had the greenhouse kind of question.
Yes, sir.
And I know 'tis the season, again, to be doing handyman projects and things. And have you encountered building a greenhouse or have you seen them?
He doesn't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't know.
No.
The last time my greenhouse was covered, Mark did it.
Yeah, I have covered.
I love her greenhouse.
Well, I'm
like
you
an
know,
army barracks.
When you've spent 25 or so years in greenhouses, the last thing you want to go home is see a greenhouse.
Okay, you stay out of the greenhouse.
Something about the cobbler's children. I don't know.
Yeah, or the painter's house. Yeah. Although. I do have fairly decent flowers, but I do not want to.
Well, and what you have done around your pool that I don't really know about, but I see the pictures of it that tickles me is that no two containers are exactly the same.
No, well, I have a couple of pears,
but not. Sometimes you go and I don't mean to talk about our friends who do this professionally, but you go to someone's home to a party. And the pool has been decorated, and it has, you know, tiki torches and containers, and it's up. But all the pots look exactly the same. There's one tall plant, one short plant, and one in the middle.
My pool looks like that all the time, but we need a little bit more
going on than that.
Oh,
and unfortunately, when you are going to invest in containers and invest in the plants that go in them, the art needs to come along with it, and that's really what you're better. You're way better at it than I am. You should. He brings me plants, y'all. I plant them. They look really crummy. He brings the ones he planted. Here, same Nell. Plants. They look great.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, if I've got a bunch of extra stuff, I'll take it to Nell, and that way if
oh, obviously, yeah, she if was she, telling me about that.
If she takes it out, then I don't have to feel bad about it.
Yeah. Well, I've only killed the corn. I did kill the corn, I think, already, but that's another.
I may even have potatoes, and I'm going to get I told you so.
No. Go ahead. Plant the potatoes, and
I'll
enjoy
them. It's too late.
Them.
They're already there.
Theoretically, it's too late, but I will enjoy them, so.
Yeah.
I know.
And you're coming to the pool. I think we're going to have a cookout.
I think that'll be fun. Try to celebrate spring.
I'm in.
Here comes.
I'll bring the beer.
All right.
Going to count on you for that one.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Now it goes. Now we have to reconstruct our hat.
Excuse me.
Did you make him pick a horse's name to win? Because we've all got
No, he's been
Kimmel,
rattled and frazzled.
Kimmel had a puppy race last night, and I can't remember, because I was about to go to bed. But
that's
funny. I got my hat.
We got to roll, guys.
We're headed to Byram.
We got to go.
We are headed to Byram. Everybody, we're headed to Rivers Market in Byram. We'll be down there giving away some gift baskets.
And we'll see you next week. Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lance.
We are the people, Mississippians. We are the land, growing food, fiber, and timber. We are there when you need us, from the roof over your head to the food on your table. We are small town, but big moments, your next door neighbors. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation. 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Please do not use gas appliances for purposes for which they are not intended. A gas oven should never be used for heating purposes. Never store flammable materials inside. The Mississippi Propane Gas Association takes pride in keeping your home or business protected. We ensure that our products are delivered in compliance with the highest industry safety standards to safeguard your family, your property, and the environment. Our dealers participate in the industry's best practices for propane usage and promote consumer safety education. Visit mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.